World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, sorry, we're a little bit choppy here today. Coming to you out of a hotel room in Swannanoa, North Carolina. Really, the epicenter, Black Mountain, the epicenter of the hurricane that took place here. What's been, how many weeks did I say, George? 11 weeks? 11 yeah. weeks ago. Yeah. And we're back here. Cowboy Dave's going to join us this morning. It's something. So I'll explain all that as we get rolling. Before we get going here too deep, I'm working on two different computers here, so bear with me if the signal's not real good or somebody said it looks kind of cheesy. It does look cheesy. I'm using my phone. I'm using the computer. We're doing the best we can. And so George and I got down here, was it yesterday? Been a whirlwind. We drove down here and I met up with Cowboy Dave. I'm going to bring him in here in a second. But before we do, I'd be remiss if I just didn't acknowledge today being Veterans Day, November 11th. And you remember when we used to talk about that in school? I remember when we had big Veterans Day celebrations when I was growing up. Anybody else out there, raise your hand and say, yeah, yeah. I remember that, Coach. I don't even know if they mentioned it today. Well, there's probably not school today, is there? But we don't make a big deal about that anymore. And I just want to honor those out there who were willing to give their lives, or many did. When I was a kid, we used to go to the cemetery on Veterans Day, and they read a poem named Flanders Field. Does anybody out there remember that? Flanders Field, the poppies grow. And just the idea of, man, one man laying down his life for another man. So I just want to do a little quick little tribute here to the veterans. It's only about, I think it's about 5 minutes. Maybe you can play it at 1.5 speed, Spence, and get it up there. And we just thank everybody that served. Go ahead.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I say your name.
I.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Support and defend.
Support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And to bear true faith.
And bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I will obey.
That I will obey.
The orders of.
The orders of.
The President of the United States.
The President of the United States.
And the orders of.
And the orders of.
Those officers.
Those officers.
Appointed over me.
Appointed over me.
According to regulations.
According to regulations.
And the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
The Uniform Code of Military Justice.
So help me God.
So help me God.
We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I, the armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The timing of this holiday is quite deliberate in terms of historical fact, but somehow it always seems quite fitting to me that this day comes deep in autumn and the colors are muted and the days seem to invite contemplation. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise, but most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In memory of those who gave the last full measure of devotion, may our efforts to achieve lasting peace gain strength. Let us make a vow to our dead. Let us show them by our actions that we understand what they died for. Strengthened by their courage, heartened by their value, and borne by their memory, let us continue to stand for the ideals for which they lived and died.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Wow, huh? Wow. Sometimes we forget. And, you know, I remember the Gettysburg address. It was Abraham Lincoln. I said, now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We kind of dedicate this place as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that this nation might live. And it's altogether fitting and proper that we should do so. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground for the brave men living and dead who struggled here, consecrated far above our poor power to add or detract. And the world a little note and a long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. And it is for us the living now. It's to us the living now. And it's funny, isn't it, as we wake here up here on 11/11/2024, we're in the midst of another great civil war, are we not? I mean, it really, really is like history constantly repeating itself. And man, oh man. Great victory that Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, but where do we go from here? And the battle that we're about to see break out in front of us is an unbelievable battle, because it's going to be an internal battle within the government itself. And if Trump could even survive the battle, got some great stuff to try to share with you today regarding that, regarding where we are as we've kind of caught our breath and patted each other on the back and given each other high fives and done all that kind of stuff, to come down to the reality of the war that remains before us. And now's the time that we cannot shrink. We can't back down. We cannot cower and go back home and put our feet up and watch Bill O'Reilly on TV. It's we're engaged in a great, great, great civil war again right now. So I want to acknowledge that. And excuse me, I got a little frog on my throat. I want to talk a little bit about we're in Swannanoa, Black Mountain. We are at the epicenter of the hurricane that came rolling through here. And I want to apologize to some people out there, to Betty and to Steve Deck and other guys have been coming down here. We haven't been able to get over there for a reason. We're here where Cowboy Dave is, where there's a lot going on here with Cowboy Dave. We just got in here yesterday. I'm going to bring him in here in a second. But just understand, folks, that once you get down there, the devastation of what's happened down there is beyond what you can. It's been 11 weeks. It's been 11 weeks. Spencer, if you could real quick, pull up the picture of that gas station. I don't know if you guys can see this. This is where we were standing there yesterday. We were standing there yesterday. That's the gas station. Of course, the water's not there anymore, but that's the That's the famous gas station in Swannanoa that was underwater. And over the edge of that, behind that building there is the water, is the river. And the devastation on the other side of that river is like, folks, you can't believe it. So I want to take a little bit of time here at the beginning just to acknowledge the fact that we're down here to thank all of you who've donated to us, and that Cowboy Dave, who is boots on the ground, is going to be down here probably through the first of the year, just to let him give you a little bit of a feel for what really, really is going on here and what's happened after 11 weeks. I got George, I'm going to get George in here in a second. So just kind of bear with me, because this is going to be kind of a two-part thing. I want to acknowledge all the people who are down here working and been willing to work. And we'd still love to put together a relief effort. Folks, it's some things that never change, right? Life goes on. It's been 11 weeks, but the devastation, people still don't have homes. But I'll let Dave talk about that here in a second. But I want to, George is kind of over my shoulder here, and because we've got some technical difficulties, I'm just going to let George just give you kind of a, George drove me down. It drove really fast, by the way. George drove me down here yesterday. And George, just kind of your reaction, get down there and what you actually really saw.
Okay.
You're here and they can hear you.
Okay. So
speak up, man.
Yeah. What I saw was, I was speechless, actually. We're coming down this big mountain. I have my foot off of the brakes, not even on the gas at all. And we're going 80 miles an hour down the thing. I said, Coach, this thing is just the longest downhill thing I've ever seen. So we're coming down it. And then I said, look at that one. At the bottom, there's this mountain. He goes, that's Black Mountain. He goes, that's where it's at. That's the epicenter down there. And I said, what they did was with HARP and NEXRAD, they steered this thing to the top of this mountain, the biggest, highest mountain I've ever seen. And the water went all the way down this big, big hill and landed right there at Black Mountain. Funneled it and they stopped it right there. And when we got there, I'm telling you, I couldn't eat my dinner. I felt sick at my stomach. The gas station he's talking about, he's standing on the edge of the concrete where the dumpster is. 10 feet on the inside of it, the erosion eroded it. Yeah. Underneath the dumpsters and stuff, where the concrete slabs are. And I'm telling you, at nighttime, people are shooting each other. They're not moving the stuff. We came down here to get a box truck, and to empty box truck to take it back to get stuff. No, it's still completely full. They can't move this stuff. And they, well.
We'll let Dave talk about that.
Yeah.
But your overreaction is what, George?
Humbled that. It's shame. What's going on here? It's shameful, and I just don't know what to say other than, Lord, Jesus, come, Jesus. Mm. We love you, and we pray for these people down here for their strength, for their. I don't know what to say, Coach. I'm sorry.
Amen. Thanks, George. Betty, what do you think, man? Betty's down here. Steve Deck's down there. We're in different places. We're clear over in North Carolina. They're over on the other side of the world. Folks, this is just going to continue to go on. And I want you to know that we're being faithful stewards of what we told you we were going to do. And we came down here to exchange. George brought me down here so I could take the truck back up and so we could load the truck and bring it back down again. And Dave just...
It's full
and all the stealing and everything's going on. So we're ordering today one of those big pods. I don't know if you guys know what those are, like a garbage pod where we can actually lock down the stuff and then we can get more stuff down here today because the needs are unbelievable. Betty, what do you see up there where you are?
Well, I am heading down to Anchorage to drop off a bunch of stuff here. And when I was there, I didn't see a lot of devastation, but I saw a lot of people. They were just lines upon lines. Plus, they were shipping out a lot of stuff. But it's sad that they have to have the men protecting their tents because people are looting their tents and stealing their generators and heaters and whatever goods they can and taking them to the flea market. And I tell you what, the people that are in the tents are the most humbled. They'll say, no, we don't want all that because there's people worse than us. And I'm going, how bad could it get? You're living in tents on dirt floor. Plus, they said in some areas the soles of their shoes were melting off because of the radiation.
Yeah.
And they were trying to move to a safer ground.
And so, Good.
Go ahead. Oh, I slept in my truck for 7 days, which was a treat. And but through the night, the Mexicans would come with their armor on, you know, that armor symbol and good jeans to come and steal generators or whatever they could. And I kept chasing them off. It's sad that they're getting paid by the government, more than likely, but they're coming to steal what our people need. And the FEMA, they need to start taking care of those people, because Bill and his friends were in the hotel for about 3 days and they got kicked out by the hotel management so FEMA could take over for $200 some night.
Thanks, Betty. Look, folks, FEMA's not here to help. FEMA's not here. Dave's going to talk about that here in a second. They're not here to help. In fact, they're beginning to confiscate materials. And we're in what, how do I explain this? Right now, we have a glut of stuff. By glut, I mean, they seem to have more resources than they need, because everybody's rushed in and brought all that stuff in there, right? So, but all the supplies, seems to be a lot of supplies, over $1 billion of supplies, I hear. But the problem's now getting it out to the people, so you know what's going on, right? The government's coming in and seizing it. The government's going to take control of it, yada, 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 right? Well, we know what's going on there. Look, I don't want to bog you down too much, but this is important for you guys to understand. We committed to come down here and do this, and I want you to know that we're not pulling a fast one on you. All right. And one of the biggest people we've been supporting is our buddy Cowboy Dave. Hearts Hurt is his ministry. Hearts Hurt, and he is committed to being down here. He was living in a freaking tent till one of his supporters was able to get a camper down here for him to sleep in. But Dave, I want you to just take some time, man, and just tell people your life and what's really going on down here.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good morning, everyone. Just listening, I'm already broken. I had a geologist this morning to my outside of my RV, and he wanted me to know that his survey in the mountains, he estimates the mudslide that came down from just above Swannanoa in the channel he measured was 60 feet high.
Oh my God.
Taking out everything. They don't know how many houses and animal life and people affected, because it's completely there's nothing left. They only can find the mudslide and people that said my relatives lived there. So that was a interesting way to start the morning, and I went to sleep last night with gunshots, and I'm safe. I have the armor of God, but I want the folks listening to know that Past Assault Ministry has chosen to do something supernatural, and that is not just to invite you on the beginning of the efforts for supplies and donations, not just in the making sure that the infrastructure is in place to get those items and those supplies and those life-giving resources to the people, but also Past Assault Ministry has drove down here to make sure that your stewardship and that your finances and that your gifts and talents are being used in the way that they should, but also to encourage me. I had two gentlemen take me to a dinner last night, a fellowship. It was good. But to get to the point, I've got a lot of people after me about what I'm sharing. I think that's what the gunshots were about last night. But if what you're hearing, folks, is true. Now, you'll never see in an official paper that FEMA is commandeering, overseeing, funneling the supplies. But this is what I know for a fact. The supply centers have told me, I spent 2 days looking for supply centers to take the resources to. And they won't take the resources because they're full. And it isn't so much that they're full. There's just a big glut in the pipeline. And it'll pass here soon, just like a plumbing issue. But they have the volunteers that they were using were local folks. And these local folks have given 6, 7, 8 weeks of their life, even though their own homes were gone, even though their own cattle were gone, even their own children had water damage in their church and on and on their groups. They chose to serve. They chose to volunteer. People from right here. And they've now had to return back to their lives, which they have none. So now they need the help. And during this process of the supply centers, the volunteers were deprived resources because they were volunteers and not actual victims, even though many of them were victims. But they never let anyone know because they were busy serving. Well, the supplies that we have here, the supplies that America has still yet to serve and to provide, this is pretty emotional, are just as good and just as valid to the kingdom of God and to these people as it was the day that we began to bring resources here 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks ago. The folks that are coming out of the mountains, the folks that are being that are now able to go back to their sites to oversee the complete demolition of their land and all their buildings, have nothing. They have what they stored in their hotel. By the way, the hotels have been notified that the FEMA payments and the payments by Red Cross or whoever was handling that will end either some of them on the first of just after Thanksgiving or some on the first of December. But these folks are trying to find storage units which have been totally destroyed so they can put what they have. Maybe it's a Bible they found on their land. Maybe it's a collar from their dog. Something they've, so looking for places to bring these resources and these things that they found. Plus they need to get supplies for when they begin to go into the tiny homes and the modulars, like barnyards, yarn barns are being provided for the people. I had a chance to drive with George and Dave yesterday, and we looked at these buildings, which are about 10 foot by maybe 15 foot. And they may have put a room divider in, I don't know, but these folks will be living in these barns. These buildings that you put your mower in with their kids and their wife, and in some cases, their parents, through Thanksgiving and through Christmas. So what we've decided to do is we've decided not to warehouse, but to provide dry safety for these resources so that when the people who said, no, everyone needs it worse than I do, I'm good. I heard it over and over from the mountain people and the Appalachian people. Somebody has it worse than me, cowboy. Make sure that heater goes to someone else. Make sure that someone gets that generator. Make someone sure that someone gets that chainsaw. Well, they now need those things. They have to come into a resource center. Most of them are overseen by a denominational church. And I know firsthand that if I'm not part of that denomination, they told me that I'm secondary. But if many of the people here weren't even active in a church because their churches are in the mountain with 6 or 7 families. And so they come into the valleys here to get resources. And if they can find the resource center, they find that the resource center has already packed up the supplies and taken them to some type of large distribution center. So I called one of those large distribution centers, and this is what they told me. This is the person that's overseeing this. I'm not being critical of this person. America needs to know what's happening firsthand, not rumors, not innuendos, not propaganda. This man told me that they had found a man, he paid him $500 a week to sit in this warehouse that was a washed out building to receive the resources that are supposed to be given to the people. And they're going to take these resources and they're going to open it up to the public. Advertise it and open it up to the public. This is what he told me with confidence and with a sense of victory. Like this was a good thing. He was expecting me to celebrate this. I celebrate the person serving and volunteering. I don't celebrate this process, but they're going to open up to the public. And then the public's going to come in and shop and get everything they want. And then they ask them to make a reasonable donation based on what they think the value of what they have received free for. And then they're going to take that cash after paying this volunteer $500 a week. I don't know what happened to volunteerism. I don't know what happened. But I'm glad this man's getting the $500. He probably needs it. After they take out his pay, they're going to take whatever money is left over. And with winks in my eye, wink, 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 they're going to get those financial cash flow back to the families that need it the most. I'm going to tell you, folks, man in the mountain with his family, this crippled dog is not going to take and drive and get $200 and then drive to a town that has an open Walmart and buy a heater or buy a sleeping bag or buy a generator. They're not. It's already here. America already provided it. So what we've decided is we're going to maintain these resources so that when people like yesterday, when Dave and George, Coach and George were here yesterday, a woman walked up. She needed a ride. It was cold, folks, and it was wet. She had no clothing at all other than what was the first layer on her body. And we took her in George's vehicle up to the FEMA camp where she's staying. And she's surrounded by resources. This FEMA camp is set up. It's probably a one-acre camp. And she had to ask us to give her a ride. Folks, something's wrong. The shooting last night, the geologist this morning, everybody's trying to get the word out to America. And what surprised me the most, Coach, is this. When you and George were here yesterday, y'all talked about how America is not hearing this anymore. It's shocking to me. It's unbelievable to me. They're still opening car doors that are full of sand and silt clear to the roof to dig through to find bones and bodies so that they can identify the people. Those families are there waiting for them to find their loved ones. They're cold. They need a blanket. They need a little heater beside them while they're wading through the mud. They need someone there to offer them a clean wash rag or a prayer. Folks, the needs are so overwhelming. So rather than cause you to be overly burdened, I want to turn this to a thank you. From the bottom of my heart, this is the first time I've ever joined with another ministry. And it's the most greatest thing I've ever experienced. Because I have the ability now to not only maintain what God's called me, and that is to be an on-site first impact, stop and talk, share Jesus with people person. But I now have what Jesus said, and that is, well, what good is it? If you see someone in need and you do nothing and say, be warm and fed, which is what FEMA's doing, and you do nothing about their needs. So we now have the ability to provide Thanksgiving, blankets, heaters, hygiene items, juices, everything you can imagine. But we have the ability to walk with these folks through the pre-Christmas, Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I'm going to be away from my own family and in total unity with my wife. She's in total agreement with this. Been married 30 years because these folks need hope. They don't need what's going on. Right now, the FEMA camp is about 1,000. There's a FEMA set up about 1,000 feet from me, and they sit at three tables all day long waiting for the people to come to them so that they can be denied, in most cases, the $750 that you heard was being given to these victims. I have yet to speak with a person, and maybe that's just because the people that got approved don't come by and see me. Maybe it's just the complainers. But I have yet to meet a single local victim who's been approved for the $750. So I say all that to say this. People say, why would we do this? Pass the Salt have people all over the area in different spots and doing different ministries and having different impacts and different inputs and so forth? It's because the needs are so great. This is going to be a year after year after year process. And it's Pass the Salt and it's other ministries that I've gotten to know that are keeping the word out there to the American people. And I want everyone on the call to do your part too. Let folks know that there's still animals running around. There was eight dogs on my lot last night, or seven or eight. I don't know how many. I mean, it looks like day three after a normal hurricane or a normal disaster. So I thank you, Coach, for giving me a minute to explain. And if you got any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer. I'm just a little emotional this morning.
Okay, Dave. Folks, I want you to know this is who we've partnered with. You know, when we initially went down, we were working with, I can't remember the name of it, and they pulled out. That's okay. They were here 11 weeks. And of course, I know Dave. And so I want you to know that we are becoming one of Dave's grindstone. Thank you, Mel. We're becoming one of his biggest supporters. We don't want to muzzle the ox, man. We know that if we get the supplies to Dave, he's going to get it to the people that need it. He's not going to make sure that somebody comes along and sells it to FEMA or whatever the heck's going on there. So we want you to know, folks, that your money is going to a godly man who is taking great care of the resources that he has. That's why we're ordering the big a pod that you've seen those big pods. Spencer, maybe you can look around for a storage pod so people can see what we're talking about. We're getting Dave his own storage pod so that he can have all the supplies, lock the supplies up, and people can come to him and he can divvy out the supply. Yeah, one of those. Throw that up, everybody. Throw that up. That's what we're getting for you, Dave. In fact, we were working last night. Hang on a second. George wants to say something. Go ahead, George.
Okay. Dave, you said something that hit me pretty hard. You said that you haven't seen anybody receive the $750 that they're talking about on TV that they're going to give for the people that lost everything. You also said when they go to apply for the $750, if they can get it, in the FEMA camps, they direct you directly to get a COVID-19 vaccine. First thing, yep. COVID-19 vaccine, which is the bioweapon to kill you. They didn't kill them with the hurricane, so they're definitely going to hit you with a bioweapon COVID-19 vaccine.
That's true, isn't it, Dave, that they go and you have to get a shot before you can get the stuff?
You don't have to get a shot, but it's like walking into a car dealership. You know how you're attacked immediately and directed to the salesman? This first thing you greet it with is not a sign telling you where the restrooms are, or where the toilet is, or where the laundry facilities, or here's the FEMA representative. The first thing you're greeted with, get your COVID shot here, get your vaccines here. And there's a series of arrowed signs directing you, funneling you right back to the, I call it the assassination table. And because of that, people don't even go onto the FEMA table, because most folks that are finding their way out of their disaster to the FEMA table, by the time they see a COVID vaccine shot, they turn around and leave. Some probably go on, and if they feel like that's something they need, but it's a distraction. They went for the $750, and by the time they're done, they have to decide on whether to get a COVID shot or not. I don't get it. But I wanted to mention one more thing to you, Coach, the reason for the storage unit, folks. I had two different times where I was stolen from. The very first week, I had my wallet, suitcase, and my cell phone stolen. And that wasn't an overly big deal. It was awkward to get a phone at Verizon in Asheville because I was not a victim, so therefore the victims got first priority. But we were able to work that out with my wife's help. But the second time, the thief that was in our camp, who's now arrested, he's been charged, he cut the whole side out of my tent and stole everything while I was back in Ohio speaking up in Ashtabula. And I got a call from a man who sleeps in his van who lost his girlfriend. She died at the KOA campground in the rearview mirror directly behind his vehicle. Her vehicle was overtaken with water. They found her the next day, her car full of sand, and her body was in there. But he called me and said, "Cowboy, they're stealing your stuff." I say that because we serve a God who's a God of justice and grace. And what happened was the sheriff's department contacted me when I came back and had me go to their impound yard, and they opened up the back of the U-Hauls that this man had been storing everything into. And there was not just all the little buddies and the generators and extension cords and the heaters and the sleeping bags and tents he had stolen, but there was my stuff, my Heart's Hurt shirts, my Heart's Hurt hoodies. And that's not an emotional issue, but I want to show you what a weird thief this guy was. He wrote his name in all of my shoes and boots. He wrote his name on everything, sides of shovel handles. But when we got done with that supply, with that impound yard and the U-Haul, I had CSI looking for fingerprints, and it was four detectives there. We got done. I'm like, "Thank you." It took like 3 hours. They had to inventory everything, do serial numbers. And they said, "Hold on, cowboy," because I wanted to leave. They're like, "Hold on. We now have to go to pawn shops." And we went to pawn shops, and they came out with four-wheel carts full of heaters and generators and extension cords. It's stolen from America all over this area without the supply centers even knowing. Now, think about that one. And the sheriff's department told me this. This man started out in Jacksonville, Florida, had a large fundraiser for Hurricane Helene, loaded up preferred cash to everybody, loaded up the supplies and brought them up here and pawned them. He was donated an F-150 truck. He donated it here. I'm sorry, he put it in an auto pawn. I've got the pawn shop tickets laying on my counter directly behind me. But America, you better be careful when you send supplies. Because just because somebody brought them to a supply center doesn't mean they get to the people. I'm not trying to pass shade onto the supply workers. But I'm just telling you, at this point, what they want is the stuff gone. And they don't care where it goes.
Hmm. That's why we're getting him in pod, folks, so he can lock his own stuff down. Got some folks want to talk to you, Dave. Betty, come on in, Betty.
Sure.
My hat goes off to you, Cowboy Dave. I want to say one thing about CPS. They're sending CPS now because they want to start taking the children away because they feel they're in unfit conditions. So yep. I tell you what, people better wake up because those kids are going to end up being child trafficking. So, you know, I just want to make people aware. And also, Anchor Ridge in North Wilkesboro, they send out all their stuff to people that need it. And people that come there, they have to be vetted before they get it. And it had better be people that are intense and are really needing it. So I have to give my hats off to Anchor Ridge also in North Wilkesboro. And Samaritan Purse was right down the road. And they would refuse a box of Pampers or a case of water to anybody that needed them. They're keeping everything for themselves. I don't know what they're doing. Franklin is probably out in the ocean in his $10 million yacht. So people, if you want to be an idiot, keep supporting them instead of sending them to Cowboy Dave or Anchor Ridge or Coach Dave, Pass the Salt, because those people are honest. They speak truth. Our guys are great. So support them. I love you.
Betty, how long are you down there for?
I will stay till the 22nd.
God bless you, Betty.
I'm going to be there till the 22nd.
Thank you,
Coach, can I comment on that?
Hang on, let George say something. Go ahead, George.
Sure.
Okay, I also wanted, Betty, you just said something that was important that there's so much that I can't pick everything you want to say. Yesterday, the girls that, if they want to get the $750, if they can't prove that they have a safe place to take those children, then they're taking the kids from all the people.
That's right.
If they can't prove that they have a safe place to take them to, they're going to take the kids.
Like the safe place wouldn't be with the parents. Go ahead, Dave.
There's a lot more propaganda out there that's going to come against what we're talking about now. And the terminology we use is important. So I haven't heard of a case of a child being taken, T-A-K-E-N, but I have talked to people firsthand who were threatened for their children to be taken if they didn't meet the requirements of the government representative or FEMA that was talking to them. I spoke with a mom personally, and she was in tears, who said that even though she may get one of these, we can't call them tiny homes because they won't allow that. I'm going to call them barnyards. But she was told once she gets a barnyard, which was her greatest hope. I mean, this woman prayed and begged for one, that once she gets it, it will be unfit for her children to live with her because she won't have running water. She won't have electricity. And this was a real case scenario where she hasn't come back to see me. So when you hear this stuff, it's beginning. And every time we've heard these kinds of things, that there's rumbles of like Lahaina and Maui and Uvalde and on the stories go, East Palestine, Ohio, it always ends up worse than we think that it's going to be. So this is the time for the church to pray. This is the time for the people to help meet the needs so that we can make sure that whatever ridiculous requirement the government has, that we meet it. We can't install electricity. We can't install plumbing, that type of thing. But we're going to do everything we can to keep families united and to make sure that they're warm.
This is amazing. In the hotel, George and I are in the Ritz down here. We're in a hotel that you still can't drink the water. In fact, it's 11 weeks, right? 11 weeks. Still can't drink the water.
Boil alert.
You got to boil it before you drink it. And they caution us from taking a shower, right? So that shows you 11. I'm telling you, you have no idea what's going on. So Dave, listen, this is important. We're getting the pod so you can store stuff so people can come and can get it directly from you.
Yeah.
Now, if you put in a tent, they rip you off. You can't do it. Dave, how will you be able to secure that pod?
Ask that last part. How am I able to secure it?
Secure it? What, can't they just come? Can't they just come and cut the padlocks off? How can you secure that?
Well, if a thief is going to steal, there's nothing to stop them. They'll bring a blowtorch out and cut the side out of this, but they're going to choose the path of least resistance. If we give them You know, if we get illuminate the site, if we make sure we have the best padlock that people, professional contractors use, there's a lot of those units all over the area here. So they're going to look for the easy target, for the soft target, just like a terrorist would.
That makes sense.
Do the best we can, and then we'll trust God with. But here's how it will work, Coach, and for America listening. It won't be where people walk into the pod and shop. It will be when people come to me like, Cowboy, please, please. I didn't know I was supposed to change oil on my generator. My generator stopped. It's 3 degrees outside. I need a generator. And I will say, what's your name? And I'll walk into the pod and get that, an extension cord and fuel mix and everything that they need. And I'll walk back out and say, here you go. So people won't know what's in the pod. It won't be like walking into a Walmart, which is what the supply centers are all right now. It will be people coming to me and say, I need a size medium hoodie for my daughter. You have a size medium hoodie, Dave, and we can go in and we can do it.
Amen. Amen. Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff.
Hey, just let everybody know, we're proud to have Cowboy Dave that we have met hook up with this ministry. It's been a hoot just meeting this guy and seeing his heart. Man, we appreciate you, brother. We're loading up stuff here in the garage again. Stuff is still trickling in. We're getting people, and I told you, get me a list, like heaters, fire. You talked about things, and we'll target that stuff. So there's some crap that they've brought me. I'm going to pitch in the dumpster. Hey, we don't want to send this stuff down. You know what I mean? But we got a lot of good stuff. But here's what I'll say to you. From now on, when you tell them stories about people, use your example as maybe an attorney, not a car salesman. I just had to throw that in, brother. They always pick the car salesman.
I think everybody on the call knows why Jeff would say that. So, yeah, I'll make that adjustment in my theology. How's that?
Hey, Coach.
That's a good one.
Have you found the pod yet or whatever you're looking for?
We're going to do it today.
All right, we got that trucking company right here in Mount Vernon, McFarland Brothers. They got all them semis and box trucks, and they take all them off them semis. They got 40, 50, 60 of them sitting out here. He might just donate one, and they might ship it down for us.
Well, check and see. First of all, today's a holiday. Yesterday was Sunday. We thought of it. Today's a holiday. But we're going to get after it. We're going to try to secure it for Dave. Anyway, we'll get it for him, folks. Okay, we're getting it for him. And we're going to continue to fund him and fund what's going on.
Coach, I did want to mention something. We utilized one of the tractor trailers in Lahaina. And what we found was they're so high to get into them, to get the stuff. It's so high, even with a set of steps. Most of them are about 6 to 8 high at the deck. It becomes very, very weary on the body in and out of those things. That would be great if that's what we decide on. It would serve the same exact purpose. The advantage of the pods is at ground level, so you step right into it.
Plus, Dave, we checked on it last night. We can get you a pod for 3 months for $150 or something. So it's not a big expense. So we'll get that done. We'll get that.
Jeff, thank you, Jeff, for all you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Cowboy Dave, for what you're doing down there. You know, the question that I have is that you mentioned that the resource centers that are waiting for people to come in, but is anybody actually trying to get out to the people to assess what they need?
Yes, that's been the major thrust. Has been in the initial first few weeks, it was helicopters flying supplies, and they even put a National Guardsman on site at every camp in the mountains. These camps are set up of 6 to 8 families from a mile geographical area that all congregated together for shelter. So there are people shuttling supplies. They started out with the mules and the horses, which would come to the supply center we had, as a matter of fact, and then the folks taking the helicopter pilots, our supplies went on board with them also, in addition to many other supply centers. So that is happening. And yes, that's a good observation. It's the folks that are in the valley here that I see the most, that are having the most difficulty because they have no vehicles getting to the supply centers. And then what they have to go through, the longer this goes, the more rigid the supply centers are with who qualifies to look over their inventory. And I know that sounds kind of high and fluting, but that's the way they treat it. I was in a church yesterday that has a Southern Baptist denominational tie. And basically what they told me was, if you're not part of Southern Baptist Disaster Relief Services, no, cowboy, we would prefer you not come in for cereal. We would prefer you not take those sanitary wipes out of here. And, they wouldn't say no, but they made it clear. So if they treat me that way, imagine how someone who doesn't fit their stereotype of who they want to help, imagine the, and it's just the intimidation factor. These folks are just broken, and it doesn't take much for resistance for them to say, the heck with y'all. I'll just open a can of beans.
Yeah.
And Dave, one thing that they got to think about, right? That those people come and they take the stuff away, and then maybe you don't see them for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and then they run out and they come back, right? So these are people who really, they're self-sufficient. They want to be self-sufficient, but the reality of it is the stores aren't open. There's still no power. There's no water. So they'll come back to Dave. There's going to be that resource center. George wants to say something. Go, George.
Okay. And I also wanted to say, when I was coming down that big hill with Coach to see where this all hit at the epicenter, it's 15 miles of that devastation. When you look at all this stuff clumped up, all those houses that are ripped out of there, gone, totally leveled, everything, 15 miles of it. And so it's way, way... It's way, way
it's bigger than you can imagine, man. Mary Beth.
I just wonder, I heard that if the people even get the $750 from FEMA, that if they don't pay that back within a year, that they'll have their anything confiscated of their own anyway. So it's like, I don't even think people should take that $750.
Well, and Mary also, Beth, what is $750?
Right, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah, right. Let's pray. Let's pray for them.
Go, Angie.
Good morning. Hey, thank you, Cowboy Dave, for all your work, and Betty and George and Dave. I know it's hard to understand the depth of the destruction until you're actually down there seeing it. Our own community has sent almost probably 4 or 5 truckloads and dozens of people down that area. I still got guys that are down in the area that are helping to distribute and helping to get things out. Took side-by-sides and golf carts and just trying to get things out. But I do have a question. Like, are you finding that these people, because it's been 11 weeks, and we know it'll probably be years before they're even able to get anything built or reestablished or a town built again, are you finding that some of these people just want to leave and get out of there? And how do we get these folks out and sponsor families or do something and take them somewhere to relocate and help them reestablish a life? Like, I just think of myself, if I were in that position, I'd be like, to heck with it. Let's just go somewhere else and try to reestablish a life somewhere, because this is just complete devastation. What is going on with that part of it?
May I go ahead, Dave? That's a great observation and a great question. I personally have had, for example, on the second week, I had a high school senior and her friend come to me from the school here, and they began to talk to me, and you know how awkward teenagers are with older people anyway. So there was this whole thing, we don't know you, who are you? And once we established some type of communication and koinonia together, she began to share with me what she was mad about. Because I've got a sign outside of my campus says heart hurt ? Stop and talk. And she said, here's what I want to talk about. She said, I'm a high school senior. My whole high school career has been jacked up with the lockdown and now this horrific flood. And she said, where are you from, cowboy? And I said, Ohio. And she said, when I say Xenia, Ohio, what do you think of? And I said, tornado. And she said, when I go to college and apply, they're going to be like, oh, you're from Swannanoa. Isn't that where the flood went? And I'll go to my sorority and I'll apply at my sorority and they'll see I'm from Swannanoa. And they're like, oh, you're from Swannanoa. And she said, I don't even want to go to school. I don't even want to graduate from my high school. I don't want to graduate from Swannanoa High School. My family doesn't want to rebuild. I don't want to inherit the house. I don't want to live here. Even though our home wasn't damaged that badly, we have to drive and in the front window and the back window and both side windows and our rear view mirrors all show us nothing but death and destruction. So we don't want to drive through this for 2 or 3 or 4 years. It doesn't look like our neighborhood. It doesn't look like our community. And I hear those accounts from the older folks, especially. A woman stood on the banks of the river and pointed over, and she was telling me, and my coach opened with this, and she said, that's where my grandma was born, that's where my mom was born, and that's where I was born. And now they're telling me that it's in a floodplain. You see, folks, they've restructured the state of North Carolina, or at least this region is what I hear, and that places that were not in a floodplain before, if they got flooded this time, they're now in a floodplain, even though they've owned that land, in most cases, for decades, centuries. So folks are wanting to relocate and not stay in the community. So your question is, the answer is, in some cases, yes, folks do want to relocate. And how that would happen, there's a strong group here called Friends of Swannanoa. If you're on Facebook, you'll definitely want to monitor that. And please, 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 they're very careful about aggressive positions on what would be controversial issues. They're definitely not Christian, but they're doing a good job. But on there, you see the people's pleas of, I will go anywhere and relocate. If you have a camper, if you have a mobile home, if you have land on your farm, if you have a rental home, if you have a barn, if you have anything to get me out of what I love and where I grew up, I will go and start over again. So yeah, I am hearing that now, and we'll hear it more and more once the holidays go by, because most folks just feel a passion to spend their holiday here, even if it's in a tent. And I understand that it's their hometown. But there's going to be a very quick time where there's going to be an exodus out of here. And we're going to need to pray and to spiritually prepare for these transients and for these folks that come into our communities. If we have the money, and if we can allow millions and millions and millions and millions of people that we know of to come up from other countries into America, we certainly, as the body of Christ, can lift up a brother and sister from this community to help find someone we know in another state or another area of our home state that would be willing to say, yeah, we've got an extra room. Yeah, we've got a mother-in-law suite. Yeah, we've got a camper. If you'd like to get out of there, you're welcome here.
Yeah, I think that's the next move, is definitely looking at how to get sponsors to help relocate these people. And you're right, if you've got even if you've got a bedroom and a basement, for God's sake, it's better than what they've got now. So I appreciate that, Friends of Swannanoa. I will definitely look that up. I will definitely see where we can take a part in that and help get people out, because it's not recoverable at this point, and it'll be years, if not decades, before that stuff is even reestablished.
And there's hundreds of dogs and cats. They've established all the shelters as no kill zones, so they can't put them down like a lot of shelters will do within 72 hours after a disaster. The only reason why they put them down is if they're aggressive. And unfortunately, a lot of these dogs that weren't aggressive before are now aggressive, so they're killing them. But there's going to be needs not just for human life, which is our priority, but there's also going to be a need for these people. In some cases, they're going to need to bring their cat. They're going to need to bring their dog, and that's what we need to prepare for. I mean, we may not be a cat person, but if they are, they're not going to separate from their cat just to find a place to live. And we will begin to work towards having resources and connections for folks as we build this thing, to where I think we'll have a network of folks who say, hey, I've got a basement. I've got an opportunity here in Virginia or California or Ohio or Michigan or wherever. I can host someone for 6 months and help them get on their feet. My church will help me. My group will help me. My friends will help me. I think that we're going to see that, and I will do my part to keep a track of a list of the genuine people who genuinely are open to this, to see if we can't connect them.
Betty. Come on in, Betty.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to say that Anchorage is very good, because they took their tag stuff and good stuff into the building because they knew of the looting. And they do make sure that these people that come to get them, because we had some Mexican families that came every day and they would just keep turning them away. So they just left the junk stuff outside for them to go through. And I was going to say something else, but I got so involved with Cowboy, because what he's saying is so true and so right. So I just want to thank you, Cowboy Dave, for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Betty. PP, come on in. PP. Got to unmute. Julie.
Good morning. Like what Ann said about, you know, the church or us adopting a family, like, you know, like in small quantities, like maybe somebody cook meals for them and then another person provide hot showers or whatever, you know. But I just believe God is pulling us together to unite and to help each other out, because we can't depend on the government, because they're more corrupt than what we know.
Amen. Amen. Randy.
Coach, you know what I'm seeing come out of this whole situation, and it's happening not just there in this flood, it's happening everywhere in our nation. God is bringing out his people to lead. He's bringing out people like Coach Cowboy Dave, Coach Dave, many other Daves, me, you. He's bringing us out, Coach, to show them the kingdom of God, that in that big government and socialism and all this man-made crap doesn't work. And I'm telling you, this is our hour to show them, Coach. And I appreciate people who are obedient and will be the boots on the ground. And that's what God is asking. Be my boots on the ground right now, my people. And if we can hear the kingdom of God.
Let me show you something. Hey, Spencer, go to my Facebook page real quick. Folks, I want you to see this. Spencer, this is going to be, we just got about 4 or 5 minutes. So scroll down, Spencer. I want you folks to see some different maps from the election and what they tell us. Keep going, Spence. Just stop when you see a map. Boom, back. Look at that. Can you make that bigger, Spencer? What is it? This is what, that's a map of America. America voted is red. America is red. And what they've tried to do in the media is they say America's blue, and they stick a little red one in there and say, oh, yeah, you guys, you know, it's you Trumpers. No, America's red. Go to the next one. This is pretty staggering when you see how these votes come out. Keep going there. Keep going. There's one. What's that? Can you make that a little bit bigger? The election, if only women had voted. That's what it would look like if only women had voted. Think about that, folks, huh? If only women had voted. Oh, man, don't get me going on that one. Go to the next one. There's another one coming up here. Right there's one. What's that? What's that say? That's the real America there, folks. America's red. It's the large cities, the inner cities, particularly where they can't keep track of who's doing the voting and the vote counting. All of a sudden, I don't know if you're hearing this, the left is starting to scream that the election's been rigged, voter fraud. Next one. There's one more, I think, Spence. Scroll on up there. Mine's not scrolling on my screen. Hang on there. What's that? What's that one? Pull that up there. What's that say? I can't hardly see. Comma one, all the states that don't require voter ID. Isn't that something? If there's no voter ID, Kamala Harris won. So, folks, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Dave, you got 2 minutes, man. Wrap us up here, Dave.
Okay, so when people ask you what's going on there, it's simple. People helping people. It's not complicated. The government is not going to be there for you. In the future, it's going to be people helping you. And so, folks, you can't come. Most of you have responsibilities, duties, and just a lifestyle. I understand. You cannot be the boots on the ground. I can, and I will, and coach and others will. But I want to finish with my 2 minutes with this. My preference is simple. I have my own not-for-profit, et cetera, but I believe that Pass the Salt is the resource and the ministry and the group that I want to see the resources go to, and then allow God to lead Coach and his team and which I'm not a part of towards that. So I would like the attention and everything to go to the group that God has already raised up before this even happened. And so with that, I just want to show honor where honor is due. The last thing I mentioned to you is Coach asked me last night before he pulled away, he and George, and they said, so what do you do other than just the supplies? What do you do with your day? Well, the needs are so great. There was a storage unit, had 120 units called Swananoa Storage that was devastated. And they allowed the people to come back in to get the few remaining items that were not flooded, were not wet, were not dirty. And they just put trash and everything outside the units or in their units. You can just imagine the devastation. And I learned that he had been there 25 years and they were waiting on a contractor. But until then, people were contacting her saying, I need somewhere to take my stuff because they're kicking me out of my hotel. And so I said, so all you need is these units cleaned out and you'll give them free to people that are like literally carrying wet clothes. And she said, yeah. And I said, Well, I can do that. We got a shovel? And so I began cleaning.
Dave, we're out of time, man. We're out of time, brother.
All right, brother.
Hang in there. You can join us in the after show, folks. Great devastation. Great stuff going on. Look, God's people are rising up. That's all part of this MAGA movement. It's all going on. There's a real shift going on in America. God bless y'all. Thanks for helping us out, helping us help Dave. See you tomorrow.